Hello, Dr. Gene Mesko back with Mostly Hairless Apes. This is season 7, episode 6 by my calculation. And I think I had a big idea. I had a lot of ideas, but this one is about breeding ideas. Because I've been talking about civilization, I've been talking about artificial selection, and the axes of contentment, all sorts of things. Things are scribbled in notes, trying to figure out this mathematical model of artificial selection based on probability and information theory. And the axes I've come up with, but it boils down to, how do you change somebody? What's a civilization doing? And here's the biggest question, given the terrible tangerine and the actions that are going on in the world today. Talking to you on September 29th, 2025. And the idea of leadership requires, what you're doing is you're breeding ideas. That's the essence of leadership. Because it's artificial selection is human civilizations changing the world around us. And the civilization is composed of the people who share a belief system. Because they have to have, at their fundamental core, some combination of how do you define good and evil, what's good and what's bad. You have to have some axis of contentment there, of belief. That's what belief is. And how well you align with it will depend on how well you distribute your resources and how well you define your interactions with other people. And that's the whole thing. You've got to have enough people around you who work with you to give you what you need, and you work with them, you trade, you balance, and you get enough resources to do the things that you like to do, balancing your time, your money, and your resources. And when we all do that, we have a happy civilization. That's the beautiful thing about society. That's the whole advantage of being an evolving social primate, not just being a mostly hairless ape. If we want to be human, we have to be accepted in a society. We are all Homo sapiens, mostly hairless apes evolving along. But what do we select for? What is our artificial selection? What ideas run our civilizations about what's good and bad, and how do we distribute resources? How do we deal with each other? And that's government and the economy and the belief system. The belief system is whatever you think is right and wrong. And we all have one of those. We all have an ability to distinguish right from wrong. We may not agree with everybody else. That's a separate issue. But that's the whole point. When we're going to have a civilization, we have to share a basic definition of what's right and wrong. And one of the fundamental distinctions right now in society is all or not all. Or just some of us. That's the civilization belief, fundamental belief question that needs to be answered. Between any people that you want to consider human right now. People are people. People are Homo sapiens. We're mostly hairless apes. But humans are only the people who I belong to a civilization with. That's how you can deny humanity. How do you deny someone else's humanity? You don't define them as human. It's just that fucking simple. How stupid are you? The question is, what's a human? That's the problem. And not everybody qualifies in a lot of people's books. And I think in just about everybody's book. You have to be freaking Mother Teresa. Or pick a saint. Pick some Buddha. Some imam. Some great figure from history. Some Dr. Schweitzer. I don't know. You have these names that just filter into your head of people who did good. They were just good people. And good people are exemplars of whatever you think is good. So whoever your heroes are is going to be a good indicator of what you think is good about the world. The fact that I think the Blues Brothers are heroes says something about me. There are a couple of my heroes, Jake and Elwood, are heroes because Jake and Elwood are pure of heart. Jake and Elwood have a goal, and their goal is to get out there on the stage, especially Elwood, and Jake, and they're a pair. They're brothers who take care of each other. They're the fundamental family unit. Is their brotherhood. And by extension to the band, they have an extended brotherhood. And the whole thing is, they just want to get out there and hit that groove and be playing to the world, or to whoever, or to the bar, or to themselves. They don't care. They're living for the music. That's a beautiful thing. That's why the Blues Brothers are in my pantheon of deities, of heroes, of celebrities, of saints. What, however you want to define it, of people I think who did good, who do good for some reason. Do the Blues Brothers manage to screw up a whole bunch of stuff? Yes, but at their core. And that's why the Brothers of Delta Tau Chi, what some people derogatorily refer to as the Animal House, are also up in my pantheon. Those are the movies I saw when I was developing my idea of manhood and civilization. That's what I grew up with. So whatever that's worth, along with lots of other characters in my life. But that's how I view the world. I say, wow, can't we just have some fun? Can't we just have some frickin' fun? That's what I want to do. That's what I experienced. That was the window of my development that triggered a lot of my global personal perspectives. And I think, because I also have the crew of the Starship Enterprise, the original, and many other additions through the ages of the idea, what would the world be with Starfleet, if we had a Starfleet, if we had a world where there was no hunger, where we took care of each other, and the highest goals were to become a professional artist or scientist, or go exploring the universe. And that would be a gorgeous thing. But what do we do? What do we do instead? No, we create crap. We steer our resources into things that don't really matter, except to make somebody money. That's where we are, and that's the whole point of this process. We've got this horrible idea that what the idea of civilization should be. Here's what mine should be. Here's what I think civilization should be. Civilization should be a situation where we have an equitable distribution of resources and that allow for the optimal development of every human. So that means the basic biological needs are taken care of. We have universal health care, we have universal education, we have universal nutrition. And because of that, the only question then becomes, what do we teach them? We know what the fun. Audrey disagrees. Sorry about that. Audrey disagrees is what should we feed them. But the idea of a civilization. Okay. Male's here. As Audrey lets us know. All right. But I was talking about civilization. And civilization is based on ideas. That's artificial selection. That's what makes us each human. We can only respect someone who's human, as a fellow member of our civilization, if they share the same basic definitions of good and evil, right and wrong. Now, whatever scale you want to put that on, whatever boils down to a belief, something that you think is good, but you can't justify. If you can't justify it with logic and reason, then it's a belief. And logic and reason would include things like physical evidence. That some rationale that says this has to be the way you think about something. And if you can't defend it, and what would be the equivalent of a court of law in any decent civilization, or a debate room, a courtroom, a classroom, any place where ideas go on trial. That's the idea of civilization. We have a limit. That's the whole idea of having a civil dispute. If it's a criminal dispute, it's ideas that we've already settled on. That's why crime has gotten so complex, though. We've started to parse crime into these different things. Crime should be much simpler. Crime has gotten so complex because we have such an expanded civilization that we have so many rules for all the different scales of right and wrong. that we've made all these sliding scales that people can't agree on. So we try to accommodate them all into one big grab bag. And we try to let the courts handle this in the U.S. And it's become unmanageable. That's the problem. There's too many definitions. There's too many definitions of good and evil. That's why we need this cultural reset. That's what's happening with the Terrible Tangerine and the Red Hat Brigades. There's a cultural reset. Is that it's saying, wait a minute, we can't handle it. Now, whether they can't handle it because they're too fucking stupid to handle it is a separate issue. Why they can't handle it is needs to be looked at specifically. But the idea being that if they can't handle the ideas that we're balancing here, then they're going to rebel. Anybody's going to do that. And that's why going back to basics is easier, is more important for the right versus the left. Because the right is the conservative side of the aisle, the people who obviously don't want to change things. They're saying, why are we changing something when we don't need to change it, or do we need to change it? And that gets into the issue of what kind of civilization we're going to have and what ideas of what's right and wrong. And we got to reboot. We have to step away and we have to say, what are things on? Well, and here's what probabilistic ethics says. Here's what my belief system says based on science, that the best information we can get is based on evidence and logic and reason. Those are the best tools that humans have come up with after thousands and thousands of years of civilization. And those tools say, well, show me something. Show me the evidence. Explain to me why this is a good idea. Give me a reason. Identify the idea. Because prior to the civilization, it was do it, or I'll beat you. I'll make you do it. I'll threaten you with pain and punishment. That's been the thing for thousands of years. And we still use it at a parental level. That's a debatable point. Now, everybody allows physical discipline because we all do it with infants. I mean, we move them around. We pick them up and carry them around. They're going to do exactly what we tell them until they start moving around and talking. And then we get into cultural and social differences about what's acceptable to pollute the brain of a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 20-year-old. We argue about that. And that's the whole question about parenting. So there's a really fundamental distinction that we should be able to all agree on about civilization. It takes time to develop a human. The issue is obviously when. So we should make a distinction based on civilization as to when you define adulthood. When is a person an independent adult where they're able to vote on the process, they're able to participate in the governance of whatever civilization, a government of, by, and for the people. So whatever civilization we're going to have, we're going to extract from the American experience here, we should build civilizations that they are very clear. They have a crystal clear distinction between adults and children. And that, in my book, that one level of adulthood that needs to be considered is biological. When can you reproduce? As soon as you pass through puberty, that's a reality. After puberty, you can reproduce. So at puberty, whenever you hit puberty, that's when you should go to high school. That is, high school is basically training for adulthood. Whatever we're going to call secondary school, as opposed to primary school. Primary is everything up to puberty. Right there is a really useful basic distinction for education. Because if you can reproduce, that means you can make babies. And if we're going to value family and babies and humans, we should say, all right, we're going to divide this on a biological basis. If people will get into tricking development and they'll change calorie counts and watch hormones, and that'll be great. Because that'll all be part of the ongoing human experiment with life and the universe and everything. Because that's all we're ever doing. Natural selection is just one big experiment. That's what evolution teaches us. And artificial selection is how we run our civilizations. How do we select for ideas? Well, and the ideas should only come after we've accounted for the basic aspects of physics and chemistry and biology, and the basic sciences that tell us how the world works, along with all the other ones, geology and everything else, astronomy. They're going to give us information. They've got really great information. It's verifiable. We have models of how it works. We have theories. Because we admit we might be wrong. That's the beauty of science. When that's how science as a belief system differs than religion. Religion doesn't let you be wrong. Religion says, this is God. You have to know God. And you have to believe in God. And science says, I don't know. What's out there? Let's find out. Let's be as objective as we can. Let's minimize our personal input. And there is the first ethical rule of goodness, and based on probabilistic ethics, in the evolving church of science. That the first principle is, you don't know shit. We are born with a certain set of natural instincts. We can feel pain, we can see, whatever, but it's going to be influenced heavily by development. So development now becomes the only people who should have access to that are people who are the primary biological contributors to that lineage. So family has just become a really important thing. Extended family becomes a really important thing. Because we're all from the same extended family. This is the path towards unity. How do we justify treating everyone as a human is by saying, well, we're all members of the same species. We're not all members of the same civilizations, but we'd like to be. We'd like to be Earthlings. We would like to present a united front to the space aliens when they show up. When the space aliens show up, we want to be able to say, no, no, I can speak, or somebody, whoever earns this position of leadership at that point in the future, that they could say, I speak for all of humanity, and allow us to take charge of, or negotiate. You know, there's that deal. We need the art of the deal when we're negotiating with another species. That's when we need the art of the deal. That's the whole point of having a business decision. A business decision balances the best things. Now, here's the deal with business, though. What's the best thing? Business is how do we make trades. Business is the art of the market. It's how do you make it? How do you negotiate resources? You create artificial values. And that's what we've done for thousands of years. So as soon as somebody invented cash money. When we had money, so the old trick then, the trick of the art of the deal is to make more money, is to trade your wine for your bread, for your goats, for animal skins, for whatever, you know, your leather, whatever we were trading in the past, and then continue to trade, and now we have more products than ever, and they all have different values. But what should those values reflect? Once again, just like a human development being related to genetics, we should be contributing, we should be basing resource usage and cost based on its developmental cost, its potential for pollution. We should have a cradle-to-grave economy. A cradle-to-grave economy, just like we should have a cradle-to-grave sociology to handle the fact that we're all going to get old and die, as well as it take years to develop. Those should all be factors relevant to the economy. That's what I believe. Because that's all anchored in biology. And so sociology is really just a socialism. It's just saying, wait a minute, it's just acknowledging all of us are human. And we say, all right, well, in order to do that, we should all have this basic understanding of how life works. Genetics and limitations on resources are two huge parts of it. And then the only laws that I can think of are be nice to each other. Don't kill each other. Unless you know, obviously you can defend yourself. If somebody chooses to not be nice to you, you get to be not nice back to them back. And if it's too much for you, if they're bigger or stronger than you, then you should get help. And that's the whole point of having a big society, having a society behind you, and going getting your cousins and your uncles and whoever else can help defend you, mom and dad, you know, whoever happens to be armed at the time. That's the whole point of family and having a bigger system. And that's why the current economic idea is so sick. Because the current economic idea pushes individualism and freedom. It's corrupted society to say that individualism means you don't need family. You shouldn't do that. You should do everything on your own. You should get as much as you can. Yeah, all right, you can have a loved one. You can have a nuclear family. That's why we push the nuclear family so much. Why does it matter if weird Uncle Harry is gay or that Aunt Sue is dating a gal? Why do you care? If there's more people involved in your social network, see, that's the beauty of family. So that's what we should do, is what I believe is how we should structure the economy. We should go ahead and create family corporations we should say we're going to anchor our societies based on at least one, potentially multiple genetic lines. And we're going to incorporate those individuals into our family social contract. And that social contract is going to be a business contract where you say we're going to take care of everybody that's a member of this family from cradle to grave. That's the deal. Because what's going to happen, governments have been trying to do that for years. It's how families used to do it. You took care of grandma, got sick, every, you know, people took care of her. People stepped in and helped out. That's how it should work. The community, you should take care of your own. And we should all take care of our own crap. Which means you gotta clean, you gotta wipe shit off somebody sometimes. You gotta clean babies up. You gotta clean old people up sometimes. You gotta clean sick people up. You gotta clean injured people up. And if you're not taking care of your own on some level, that means everybody needs to carry insurance or benefits or whatever you want to call it. You should have homes for everybody. That's how we should build our basic society. That's what I believe. And that's the ideas we should breed for. It's not what we're breeding for right now. We're breeding for selfish individualism. We're overemphasizing making money for yourself. That's why we have billionaires running the planet. And so we've allowed people to climb up on top of these economic pyramids and create huge disparities in income, which means the rules don't really matter because you can't enforce the rules unless you have something to bargain with. And that ultimately is resources, which is ultimately dollars in our economy or whatever other currency. That's why people are inventing all these other currencies, because they don't want the government to control it, the government of, by, and for the people controlling dollars. That would mean you could make rules that they would have to follow. But if they create Bitcoin or cyber currency or whatever the fuck they're making out there, then they can control that individually on their own markets. They're trying to create their own marketplaces. They're trying to make their own company towns. I don't want to go back to feudalism. So the society we should build, or we should build towards, in my opinion, whatever the hell that's worth, is we have a basic social economic contract among average 200. I've described that elsewhere. Look up Dunbar's number. And so we each would have a network of people that we were legally and socially bound to, and here's the big one, ethically bound. Because in order to acknowledge somebody as an adult in those societies versus a dependent, who are going to be the children, the sick, the elderly, the injured, the lame, the infirm, the insane, all of that. If you're going to take care of all that, we're going to have a huge breeding experiment. This is a breeding experiment. Who do you take in? Who are you willing to subsidize? And because that's what we're going towards. That's the world we're building. If everything's a cash value, if we're quantifying everything, and we're monetizing everything, then the issue becomes who's willing to pay? Who are you willing to pay for? And yeah, sure, we get lots of lip service about helping people out. But the idea of funneling it through the government only breeds corruption. So if you want to do charity, charity starts at home. That's where we should rate people. You got these people who have billions of dollars, and you know what you guys should be doing? You should be forming social units that are functional, not fucking kingdoms. And then, maybe then, we could have some different civilizations. But that's just those are some of the ideas I would like to breed.